And I know that you are trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, and that's why you're here. And it will be health to you and to your life and to your family, and I just want to encourage you to keep doing that. We do have visitors that come our way, and you know, they're making quite a journey, but they did stop to worship, and that's to be commended, that they would be sure to worship the Lord. And so that's the way we ought to be. We've been singing songs today about Give Me the Bible. We sang songs about No Tears in Heaven. Now, give me the Bible, because there are no tears in heaven. And there's a bright morning that's coming, a morning of joy. And we look forward to that great morning of joy. Let's not lose sight of our goal. Our goal is to get to heaven. And your being here today is a step closer in that direction. We have a goal, and that goal is to please God, to serve Him, so that we can live eternally with Him. We are very mindful of that. We support several works, and those were read this morning. We support the World Video Bible School, and they have received reports from, and show us some of their reports from Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe, and Malawi. These are some of the responses. Let me just read one. We thank God for the good work that you're doing for us. May God bless all of you who are sacrificing to donate money for this work to function. We are using these DVDs every Tuesday and Friday per week. Although we don't have good materials in our own program, God has blessed us for what we have. The church attendance is growing through this program. And there's several. I'm going to pin this on the bulletin board. Some positive responses about WVBS and the courses that they offer online. They offer these courses online. You can take them. There are 750 different videos available to watch free online. And of course, this is the last month of the year, but there have been 3,276 baptisms and 384 restorations. So the church is growing worldwide, and we're thankful for it. Let me read you some of the countries. These are countries we don't even think about oftentimes that have received materials this month. Cameroon. You ever think of Cameroon? I'm not even sure where that is, but they're sending material there. Congo, Cuba, Ecuador, Ghana, India, Kenya, Malawi, New Zealand, Nigeria, Pakistan, RSA, I think that's Republic of South Africa, South Korea. I'm praying for North Korea. Let's all pray for North Korea. Those poor people there have a miserable existence, and we need to be praying that one day they'll be liberated and freed, and the gospel can go there and be proclaimed to the millions of people in North Korea. But the materials have also gone into Tanzania, Sri Lanka, Uganda, United States, Zimbabwe. That was all in one month that they had sent materials to those places. Now, the enrollment of the online Bible school is at 11,038. So many, many people are hungry for the gospel. Let's keep our hunger up for the gospel. Jesus said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So we need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And by the way, on the internet, there are many sound places where we can go and listen to good sound preaching. There's the OABS. There's this World Video Bible School. And there's one other, Telstar Archives. You can go there and you can hear good Bible preaching and Bible lessons. Today we're going to talk about when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross. That's our lesson today. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said in verse 1, "I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He determined not to know anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's a powerful part of the gospel. And then as he was writing in also in 1 Corinthians, he said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And so he declared unto them Jesus Christ and them crucified. That's what he had preached to you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And then he says, according to the Scriptures. We're going to talk about that a little bit. According to the Scriptures. He died for our sins. And that was according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the Old Testament Scriptures. Christ's life is talked about all through the Old Testament. And do you know his death is talked about over and over in the Old Testament? Such as in Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that's the devil, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about the death of Christ. Satan would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. And so it was according to the Scriptures that Jesus died. Remember the Passover lamb? Exodus chapter 12 was when that was instituted. You know, that's talking about the death of Christ. When the Passover lamb was slain, it says in Exodus 12 in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. That's about Christ, a male. That's Christ. Of course, that's him in prospect of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. That's talking about the death of Christ, the Passover lamb. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, and eat his flesh, and eat the flesh of the Passover lamb, rather. With bitter herbs shall ye eat it. And so that's talking about the death of Christ. The gospel is about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was told according to the Scriptures. Then look at Psalm 22. We're skipping over 300 passages that talk about the death of Christ. That's from the hand of Moses. And Psalm 22 is from the pen of David, where it says in Psalm 22, beginning in verse 7, all they that see me shall laugh me to scorn. They shall shoot out the lip. They shall shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him. You know, that's talking about his death, when he hung on the cross. And then down in verse 16 of Psalm 22, for the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Spoken of about 1,000 years before crucifixion even became known in the world. And so he died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Look at Isaiah 53, one of the most significant and wonderful passages of all the Old Testament is Isaiah chapter 53, where the Bible says in verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Isaiah 53 talks about the death of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all spend several chapters on each of those books talking about the coming of the death of Christ, talking about His time in the Garden of Gethsemane, talking about His trial, talking about His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection. At least 12 chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John address the death of Christ. And so when Paul says, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible throughout talks about the crucifixion, the death of Christ. And that, of course, is what we are to remember. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we read, beginning in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, for I have received of the Lord. This message came to Paul by way of inspiration, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord the same night in which He was betrayed took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, as we've done this morning, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And so we are talking about the death of Christ today. When He died upon the cross, it is a cardinal doctrine of the gospel. You can't have the gospel without the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. You can't have the good news. If you just had the death of Christ without the burial and the resurrection, you wouldn't have the good news, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, we're going to talk about three things today. Number one, the Old Testament was fulfilled. When Christ died on the cross, number two, redemption was made possible. When Christ died upon the cross, number three, He made a home in heaven available to us. Number one, when Jesus died on the cross, He fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures, several of which we just read, but there are 300 of them. He fulfilled those scriptures. Notice what He says here in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, you remember these words He spoke to His disciples? Read in your Bibles with me, Luke 24, beginning in verse 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What's this? That all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. You know what the law of Moses is? We just read Genesis. We just read Exodus. But also Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. All of those books speak of Christ. While I was yet with you, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets. We just read one book, Isaiah. We read Isaiah 53. And in the Psalms, we read Psalm 22. And many other places in the book of Psalms talk about Christ. He says, concerning Me, then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Remember, Paul said, I preached unto you the gospel wherein you've received it and you're standing in it and you've been saved by it. Now that Christ died on the cross according to the Scriptures. That's what He's talking about here. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures and said unto them, thus it is written. Where is it written? It's written in the law of Moses. It's written in the prophets. It's written in the Psalms. Thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Christ fulfilled those scriptures. Genesis 3:15, Exodus chapter 12, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and 300 more passages. When Jesus died on the cross, what did he do? He fulfilled the scriptures. That's what he did. And so when he died, he carried out God's will that was recorded in the Old Testament. And I hope this helps us to understand some of these passages that we're reading here. Look at Matthew chapter 5. You ever read this? Matthew 5 and verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. What's the law? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And so he did fulfill those passages. When Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled Genesis 3:15. He fulfilled Exodus 12. He fulfilled Psalm 22. He fulfilled Isaiah 53. He fulfilled those passages when he died on the cross. You know, it's been said often, and it's so true, that in the Old Testament, you have the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. It speaks of Christ. It speaks of him being the high priest. It speaks of him being a king. It speaks of the church being established and salvation through his blood. It is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Concealed, and then it's revealed. That's why it was called a mystery. And so when Christ died upon the cross, he fulfilled all that was written aforetime. This proves that God's the author of this book. There's no other book in all the world like the Bible that makes such prophecies and predictions, and we see them carried out. Look at the book of John in verse number 5, or chapter number 5, John chapter 5. This is what Christ is saying here. Notice in John 5 and verse 39, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." When Christ came, what people were to do was they had the Old Testament. And when they see him fulfilling the Old Testament, they should say, "That's him. The Old Testament is testifying of him. If the scriptures are testifying, this is the Son of God." Notice down in verse number 45 of John 5. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" And so he fulfilled those important passages. Those passages in the first five books of the Old Testament are significant because Christ came and fulfilled those scriptures. Now, having fulfilled that, when he died on the cross, he fulfilled those passages and he took the law away. Look at Colossians chapter number 2 in verse 14. Colossians 2 in verse 14. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." He fulfilled the Old Testament. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Well, what handwriting ordinances are you talking about? Well, look at verse 15. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body," that's the church, "is of Christ." And so he nailed those Old Testament laws to his cross, and he took it out of the way. And now no one is to judge us in the Sabbath day, the new moons, and the things that we eat, and the things that we drink, as were the regulations of the Old Testament. When Christ died upon the cross, He fulfilled the Old Testament, and he took it out of the way. This is huge. I don't think the world recognizes that for the most part. They think we're still under the Ten Commandments somehow. We're not under those. He has nailed that old law to the cross. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, look at this. And by the way, I wish we had a couple of days to spend on this, because this actually tells us, this is huge. It tells us we're not under the Old Testament any longer. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse number 12. Neither by the blood of bulls and calves, that's the Old Testament, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, which are called, might receive the promises of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And so Christ came to fulfill that Old Testament, to fulfill the law of Moses. Then he nailed it to his cross, and by his own blood has given us a better covenant, a covenant through which our sins can now be forgiven. That's what happened when he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he fulfilled the Old Testament, and he took it out of the way. And now we have a better covenant. Notice Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse number 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. There are two covenants in our Bibles. There's the Old Testament, there's the New Testament. I always say, let me get over here to it. I always say this page right here in our Bible, see where it says New Testament? That's the dividing page between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I always say that's the most misunderstood page in all the Bible. People don't understand that page. That page divides the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament has been taken out of the way. But also reading here in Hebrews chapter 8, it says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. If you're in God's kingdom now, you know. You know the Lord. You've obeyed the Lord. That's how you get into his kingdom now. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's why we have a better covenant. Because we have a covenant now that our sins can truly be forgiven. So when Christ died on the cross, he fulfilled the Old Testament. And he took that law away. He fulfilled the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. He fulfilled the other books of the Bible, the Psalms, the prophets. He fulfilled those books. And this is really important. This is very important. Some people do not understand this. Now, number two, when he died on the cross, he made redemption possible. Look at Hebrews 10. Redemption was not possible under that first testament. Notice Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. It's not the good things. It was a shadow of the good things to come. and not the very image of the things. That's what's in the old law, is just a shadow. It's not the very things. Can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. That it was a faulty law. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. That was the problem with the Old Testament. That's why it needed to be taken out of the way. Because all you had there was a remembrance of sin every year. No sin was taken out of the way. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. When Christ died on the law, he died on the cross, he took that law out of the way. That law could not forgive sins. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. All of those sacrifices in the Old Testament did not satisfy God's system. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of a book it is written of me. What book? The Old Testament. In the volume of the Old Testament it was written of him, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sins thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And so when Christ came and died on the cross, he made salvation possible. He made the forgiveness of sins possible. I don't know how many millions of gallons of blood they would have gotten from all of those sacrifices for 1,500 years. All the bulls, all the goats, all the sheep, all of the animals that were slain. Blood filled basins and basins, and blood was put around that altar and on that altar year after year after year. Not a drop of it could take away the sins of the people. Only Jesus could die for the forgiveness of our sins. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, when Jesus died on the cross, he made redemption possible. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that we were not redeemed. Redeemed means I bought you. There's a price. When we talk about being redeemed, we're talking about a price being paid. You know, when we sinned, we became the slaves of sin. We don't belong to God any longer. But he is redeemed. We were redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. You know, silver and gold, everybody wants that, don't they? Everybody wants some silver and gold. They think that's valuable. But you know there's something more valuable than silver and gold? But, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And so we were redeemed by his blood. Redeemed, we are bought back from sin. I don't know what our national debt is now. I think it was $17 trillion at one time. You think you could count to a trillion? I don't believe I can even count to a trillion. You know, trillion is a number. I don't think a billion is really a number. I don't think we can quite comprehend what a billion is. I mean, if we had a billion cars sitting out here all around this building, do you imagine how many cars there would be? What about 23 trillion cars? Could Texas hold 23 trillion cars? We're just trying to get a grasp of that number. Well, whatever number you want to put on dollar bills, let's say $23 trillion. That's a lot of money. Christ's blood is worth more than that. $23 trillion could not redeem you from your sins. Something far more precious. We are not, did you read that verse 18? For as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. It was determined before the foundation of the world that Christ would come into the world. That's why we have the Old Testament. He fulfilled the Old Testament. He was spoken of in the Old Testament. All those passages that we've just read, and even more, spoke of the coming of Christ and His death upon the cross to shed His precious, precious blood so that we could be redeemed from our sins. There's nothing more precious than that. Trillions of dollars cannot equal the value of the blood of Christ. You could have all the money in the world and you would not be redeemed from one single sin. It has to be the blood of Christ. When Christ died upon the cross, He fulfilled the Old Testament. And He purchased us with His blood. Now the thing about that is, we need to understand also, tried to cover that Old Testament a little bit today. We've tried to cover the fact that His blood is precious. And that redemption, He made it possible for us to have our sins removed. Our problem in this world is not poverty. Our problem is not education. Our problem is not entertainment. We're entertained to death. We can eat pizza anytime we want to. Our problem is not starvation. Our problem is not money. We're all here. We all have clothes on. We all have money. Our problem is not money. Our problem is our sin. Sin creates the biggest problem in all the world for us. Sometimes we don't realize that. We get all worried about some little something in this world like that's our biggest problem. No, that's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is our sin. In Isaiah 59, and here's why it is. In Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. God can hear, and God can save. Here's the problem. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. That's the problem that we have. We've become separated from God. There's a gap. And it's called the sin gap. Here's God and here's me. And when I'm born, I don't have any sin. When I'm born in this world, I'm pure. You're pure. We're all pure. But somewhere along the line, we mature to the point that we know we're doing wrong. We know we've violated God's word. And we become separated. See what that verse said? Your sins have separated between you and your God. Sin separates. What? How can I get back to God? Here I am. Here God is. I'm separated from Him. I can't afford to be in this situation when the end of the world comes. How can I get back over there and have that relationship with Him? It's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ bridges the sin gap. In Revelation chapter 1, the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, it says in verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." And so the blood of Christ is the remedy. And so when Christ died on the cross, He fulfilled that Old Testament. He took that out of the way. He brought in a sacrifice with something that could take away our sins, and that is His blood. And so He's made it possible for us to have sanctification. And so His blood washes us from our sins. Now, when that happens is very important. Look at Acts 22. In verse 16, Acts 22 and 16, His His sacrifice has made it possible for us to be in heaven. He's shed his blood for us. We need to know when we contact that blood. Here's when we contact the blood. Notice Acts 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. When we're immersed in the waters of baptism, we contact the blood of Christ. And that makes it possible for us to be justified. We're justified from our sins by His blood. Romans 5 and verse 9. We've been justified by His blood. And we receive the contact of His blood when we are baptized. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 says, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ was baptized into His death. And we rise from the watery grave of baptism with our sins washed away to walk a newness of life. So, when we die now, he's made a home in heaven possible through that. I want to read the words of the Apostle Paul from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He's made that possible. When you depart this world, if you are baptized for the remission of your sins and you live a faithful Christian life, then because of His death, you're no longer under the Old Testament. He's redeemed you by His blood, and He's made it possible for you to be in heaven. And when He comes back, if you're still alive and I'm alive, we may not be, we don't know, that He'll come and receive us unto Himself, and He'll take us to heaven where He's prepared mansions for us. That happened when Jesus died. He fulfilled the Old Testament, took it out of the way. He made it possible for us to be redeemed from our sins so that we can have a home in heaven with the Lord. That all happened at His death. And that's the greatest love in all the world. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. We're thankful today for the wonderful death of Christ, the life of Christ, that He lived a perfect life. We're thankful today. And the Bible speaks of His death upon the cross in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift, King James Version says. That means His indescribable gift. Without measure, we are blessed. There's nothing greater than to be forgiven of our sins by the blood of Christ. That happened when He died for us. How thankful, how blessed, how privileged. It's good for us to be here to talk about these things today and to study from God's Word these precious truths so that we can continue to live. You know, by the way, talking about the blood of Christ, it says in 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. We contact that blood when we're baptized for the remission of sins. And we continue to have the cleansing power of that blood, the awesome power. It's awesome. You know, we were trying to describe the value of that blood by talking about trillions of dollars or billions of cars and just imagining how much that is, billions, trillions. His blood is more valuable than all those things because it and it alone can cleanse us of our sins and give us a home in heaven when there's going to be a glorious day when the Lord comes and the redemption is made real to us. When we get into heaven, what a great day that's going to be. It's almost time to rejoice for it even now, isn't it? Rejoice for it even now for the great blessings that we have. Stay faithful to God. Stay true to Him. Stay in fellowship with Him. Walk in the light that the blood may cleanse you from each day from the sins that we may commit, that we may be in heaven together. Let's stay faithful to the Lord and to His church. If you're here today and you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, we're here to help you. God wants you to be baptized. He wants you to believe that His Son is the only begotten Son of God. He wants you to repent of your sins. He wants you to confess Him with your mouth. Romans 10:9-10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We must confess it. We must believe it in our heart. We must confess it with our mouth and be repentant of our sins, to change our lives, to give it up, turn over a new leaf, we might say. Stop sinning and start living righteously. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll have the blessings that we've been talking about today, the remission of your sins. If you need to come for any reason, come as we stand and now sing.